Welcome to The Disappearing Mind, a unique podcast helping you find clarity and support along your dementia journey. Now, join National Dementia Trainer and Coach, Dawn Platt, for an all-new episode.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I am your host, Dawn Platt. I'm so happy that you could join me today. You know, on the podcast, I often talk about real stories or realness, and today is going to be one of those days. It is going to be tremendously personal for me. And today I'm going to talk about the goodbye. My mom, Betty, recently passed away at the ripe age of 96 years old. And my mom had a journey, a long journey with dementia. And she actually died of natural causes. And I wanted to pay tribute to her on the podcast, but not just to my mom, but to your mom and to your spouse or your wife or your sister or even your friend. I want to talk about some realness, some rawness that people go through. And I think it will help someone. I know it helps me to talk about it, but I'm an expert in dementia, or so people tell me that, but I am just a daughter. I have the same feelings and emotions that other daughters have. And a lot of what you know, whether it be your profession or otherwise, doesn't always apply when it comes to your personal life. So today I want to not only pay tribute, but to talk about the dementia journey and what some call the long goodbye, and just really talk about what I have gone through, what my family is going through, and what I'm still going through. Because unless you have experienced the dementia journey, it probably is not going to make sense to you, or you may not understand. You might not even be able to share with others how you were feeling. So pull up a chair, grab a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee, and let's go ahead and get started. Today, I want to honor and pay tribute to my mother, Betty. My mom was a wonderful mother. She was a great person. She was a very kind and merciful person. Mom lived to the age of 96 years old. I have had two parents live well into their 90s and a grandmother who also lived to be 96 years old. So I am used to having people live a long time in my life. And I also have seen a lot of people pass. I have experienced not only the dementia journey, but working in geriatrics most of my career, I've seen a lot of dying and the natural process of death, and maybe the suddenly or the unnatural process of death. But with dementia, it is quite different. And I think one of the reasons that it's different, or I guess the part that I'm going to point out today, is that it can be the long goodbye. Many years go by and people tell me, and I feel this way, that I lost bits and pieces of mom along the way. So I started saying goodbye many years ago. I have overseen her care for the last 7 years. I've managed her care, given direct care, as well as made medical decisions for her for the last 7 years. And it's very different than if you've had a loved one or a parent pass away that was more of a suddenly than it is somebody that just continues to have declines. And so you're losing bits and pieces of them along the way. So with that, we made the personal decision after my mother started rapidly declining that we were going to choose to have mom placed in hospice house for the last few days of her life. And I will tell you, for my family, for me personally, this was a great decision. Not only is hospice a great organization, do a great service, but one of the things that it allowed us to do is to move from caregiving back to being the children and being the family of mom before she passed away. There are several things that I experienced, and I probably am like some of you who experience this differently. I know that in my own particular family and the families that I work with, everybody experiences and handles death and dying differently. And there are a number of reasons for that that I'm not going to get into today, but I will express the gratitude that I have that we made the decision to move Mom to Hospice House. So we ended up moving Mom to Hospice House on a Wednesday, and she passed away late Friday night, almost early Saturday morning. Although it wasn't a long period of time, it allowed us that benefit of having others doing her direct care, as well as guiding us and giving us some peace of mind. It allowed us to handle, I think, some of the emotional side, some of the arrangements better than if we hadn't have. So we're talking about the dementia journey here on the podcast. And with dementia itself, we know that many types of dementia can last from 2 years to 10 years. I've heard people talk about 20 years, but I think probably the average time that people really are in the mid stages to the late stages of the disease is going to be somewhere between 2 and 10 years, depending on the type of dementia that they have, the progression, and of course, the environmental support factors that they have. But one of the things that I will say that I kind of experienced differently, or it feels different for me, I know that many of you are going to relate, and I want to talk about that, is that I started losing bits and pieces of my mother many, many years ago. And we only really got the diagnosis probably 5 or 6 years ago, an actual diagnosis. But I knew as early as probably 14 or 15 years ago that my mom was experiencing some decline that was directly due to cognition. And so I saw her lose some of her independence, and I saw her lose some of her decision-making abilities, and I saw her lose the ability to keep her home in order and her bills in order and finances and organize things. I saw that many years ago coming, and really chose to deal with that and support her in that. But over these recent years, I have seen other types of decline that many of you are seeing. And depending on who you are and how you choose to deal with it or what kind of support system you have, I have found that this is really what has impacted me as I've thought through the process. And really, after Mom's passing, how others reacted to me and the position that I took when friends and family offered things or wanted to do things. Let me just begin by saying that we have overseen Mom's care for 7 years, and the last few years have been more than trying. Had to make some many care adjustments and recently medication adjustments, and seen a real decline. Mom was placed on home hospice for almost 2 years. We almost lost her about a year and a half ago, and she recovered, and she would ebb and flow in her condition. We've talked about other medical conditions will impact cognition or their ability to cope. And so dementia might become more prevalent or more unmanageable if there's another condition like an infection or any other medical condition is going to compound the dementia, possibly the confusion, maybe even behaviors. And that was the case with my mom. Making adjustments. We accessed adult daycare a few days a week, and that worked beautifully for some time. And then it just kind of quit working. It was really a little bit more of a struggle to coach her into going than the benefit. And so we've talked about picking your battles. We went through a lot of that. After Mom passed, and we're talking very recently here, and I shared it, I have a wonderful team that I work with that have been hugely supportive. I communicated to friends and family obviously social media, some basic facts, and people just responded so beautifully. But not only myself, but I have a sibling who responded in the same way. And one of the things was that, and my daughter commented on this as well, is that people wanted to console me or come and see me or hold my hand, or they wondered if the family was gathering immediately. And my sister and my daughter both processed in their own way. And my other family members as well. We have family local, and then we have family in other states, and everyone is processing in their own way, as you will do. But one of the things that I realized very early is that I have been in the process and prepared myself to say goodbye for so long, and have said goodbye to so many aspects of my mother, her merciful nature, her kind personality, her family devoted side. All of those things I have seen come and go throughout the course of her dementia. It really was very different, is very different for me. And we are deciding as a family to wait. We're going to wait about a month, and then we're going to do a memorial or family remembrance service. One of the things that I noted very quickly is that I don't think that I in particular have grieved heavily. I think I'm grieving in a different way, and everybody does that. But what I found was is that I needed to be busy. And my work in dementia care, my work with families is important to me. It's important because it is rewarding. And it makes me feel like not only have I helped my mother, but I'm helping others. And for me, that's the connect. That's the way that I release my grieving and my ability to cope. But one of the things that I really have experienced, and I got some really good advice, is that I became very emotionally fatigued. And I never had really looked at that before, what emotional fatigue was. I've been tired. I've been exhausted from frustration. I've been exhausted from caregiving, from managing care managing when you're managing doctors, nurses, bathers, chaplains, social workers, just scheduling their appointments to come and visit your loved one can be exhausting. But this was emotional fatigue. And it was right really just a few days, 3 or 4 days after mom had passed and the arrangements had been made and all of those things, when it got quiet, I became very emotionally fatigued. I found that I was having a hard time kind of coping. I had some fogginess. I didn't have a lot of clarity. I chose, out of wisdom, I hope, to not make certain decisions or not tackle too many projects. And I realized that this was all part of my grieving process. And I wanted to share it with you because, yes, have I been teary-eyed? Oh yes. And you will be too. But mostly it's been little things like going to the grocery store and not buying bananas for her, or the incessant snack on sweets or apple pies that my mother so enjoyed. That was just a delight for me, even though I don't consume those things. But I realized that I was emotionally fatigued, and that was so tiring. And I was talking to a friend and a professional colleague who gave me a bit of good advice I'm going to give you. And she said, over the next month and several weeks, I want you to just do me a favor. And that is, I want you to care for yourself the way you would care for others in this situation. And for some reason, it struck me, because I was 3 days out and then back in my office. And granted, it was only half a day, but my work is my life and my passion. So I was probably overdoing it, and I try not to do that. But I thought that was really some great advice. And I began to ask, and I'm going to ask you, is emotional fatigue part of grieving? And I am not a professional in this area. It is not something that I've probably thought too many times about, even though I have supported families through grieving and through the emotional stress of the journey of dementia, when mom was passed, I no longer was the care manager. I no longer had to think about those things that I thought about for 7 years. I actually had time that I didn't have to manage 100 different things on top of what I already managed. There was this place there, kind of this void in my life, and I believe in my family's life, certainly my spouse's life. And I realized that even though I had not grieved or needed all of this sympathy from people, even my friends, that there was this emotional component that I really didn't know what to do with. So emotional fatigue is part of grieving. It is my style of grieving, apparently. I wanted to talk about what that feels like and how to balance it. I did a little research and I want to share with you some of the steps that I'm taking. And I tried to encompass some of these steps prior to this. And I always recommend in my support groups some of these steps for you. But I think that even though we as caregivers and care managers and family members know these things and we might pick up a few, once that void is there, I think it's critically important that we take some extra steps, because we now have this time that we've carved out of our life for 2 years, 3 years, 7 years, 10 years. And now you have the opportunity to fill that time with things that are beneficial, that are useful. And really, it's a real good time for us to take care of ourselves. I thought today that I would share some of these things with you, how to overcome emotional fatigue. And emotional fatigue, I feel like for me, is much more impactful than the overt grieving process that many people go through. And there's nothing wrong with that. And if this were suddenly, I think that I would probably feel that. My dad was into his 90s. My mom was 96. So these were not suddenlies. These were not things that were not expected. I watched them come. I knew they were coming. And I pretty much knew up to the day when mom was going to pass. But still, in the same token, it's kind of like your life changes. You don't have to do the things that you've done to support and to make this work. So emotional fatigue is real. It is impactful. And we have to make a change in order to, I think, walk through this to be healthy through this walk. And so there's nothing wrong, I think, with the emotional fatigue or the emotional roller coaster that we feel when someone passes, and especially when it's been a long dementia journey, which mine has been and yours may have been. But here are some of the things that I want to talk about them. Number one is reducing stress. Obviously, we say that. It's very easy to say, but I think that I have the choice, the multitasker that I am, the things that I accomplish in a day, I have the choice to reduce some of that. I have taken it upon myself this last week to move some things till tomorrow, to move some things till next week, not touch them, not answer so quickly, because I don't want to address something too quickly, certainly out of duress. That's been good for me to be able to do. Connecting with others. I got the opportunity, and I want to mention this to you. So one of the things that I saw with my own mother as she declined and as she was transitioning, my mother passed in perfect peace. There was no stress. There was no suffering. There was no pain. None of those things. She was at perfect peace up until and when she passed. But I said to my husband, I want to share with you, I actually saw a glimpse of the pieces of mom that I had lost during the journey, during the disease process. Those things that I had given up that I felt were gone, I was able to reconnect to those again, because during this process, much of the dementia symptoms, anxiety, hallucinations, stories were gone. They just were not there. Her being at peace, I got to glimpse that and really catch that glimpse of my beautiful mother, my kind and caring, merciful mother, and a lot of her personality. I was able to see again before she passed. And I'm so thankful for that. So many people reached out and are sending cards and different things that I've taken this opportunity to dialogue with cousins and with nieces and nephews and with distant friends that I have not really spoken to in years who knew my mother, who have reached out. And so that has been really, really nice. Now, with that, I haven't done that too much because I find it overwhelming to repeat myself or repeat the story. So keep that in mind. Seeking professional support, I have not done that. One of the reasons that I haven't done that is that I'm processing through this emotional fatigue. I obviously run a support group. And so when I'm talking to families, I'm talking for myself as well. I'm sharing real stories. And that is very beneficial for me. But certainly, if I need that or you need that, I would highly recommend that. Sleep. I have chosen to go to bed an hour or two earlier. I have allowed myself on two occasions to sleep in, which I normally do not do. Sleep, setting a routine time to go to bed and a routine time to get up are highly beneficial for emotional fatigue. And I have seen the benefit of that. Creating healthy routines. I think that watching what we eat or how we eat and setting up those routines for ourselves, getting us back into a pattern is really beneficial. Developing a healthy lifestyle. So I have opportunity now, and you will have opportunity now maybe to walk more or go to the gym or get up and walk or just set those go to bed and get up times. You have an opportunity to do really a lot of things that maybe you didn't have the opportunity to do before. Exercise, again, I've been taking walks, not long walks. I hope to set a routine with that. And learn from emotional exhaustion. Emotional exhaustion is very different than exhaustion from being frustrated or just stressed or just really tired. It is very different. It's a head exhaustion, which just really wears you out. Your brain just doesn't want to communicate or talk or do things. And I think recognizing that is really important. I'm emotionally exhausted. I'm going to get some rest. I'll talk to you tomorrow. I'll deal with that tomorrow kind of thing, I think is really important. Practicing self-care. You have put off going to the doctor. I have put off getting this year's physical. I mean, those are the things that I think are important, the little things that you've put off because you're putting your loved one ahead of you. Now is the time to really do those things for yourself. Taking care of yourself. Again, setting the routines, freshening your wardrobe, freshening your bathroom, taking care of the things that you wanted to do, whether it's spring cleaning or dusting or reorganizing something, spending some time with a friend, really important. And cultivate positive relationships. This is really important. We've talked about this a lot on the podcast, but for the last 3 years, I have kind of let some things go. I have stepped away from two boards that I've been a part of for years. I have not maintained to the degree a lot of my friendships because I just didn't have the time and didn't feel like I can maintain those things. And now I can pick them back up again. I can build relationships again and be able to give back to others and do it in a way that's not exhausting to me. I think that that is something that you might want to consider. Focus on the present. You've been so busy. I've been so busy for the last 7 years juggling and maintaining what was. And now things are different for me. And someday they'll be different for you. So I have the opportunity to fill that time with whatever I want and to focus on where I am today. And so we've just come through Easter or Passover, whichever one that you celebrate. But I didn't want to make any decisions about the memorial. I wanted to get through that time and with family and focus on the immediate and then have the opportunity to be refreshed, to be able to create memories or a memorable time for our last goodbye to mom. Focusing on the present gives us that ability to do that. Music. if you are a music listener, like I used to be, I really even probably put that away for a while. And I just this past weekend got my phone out and my music list, my playlist, and I put it on a speaker and I just played it in the house. And before I knew it, I was singing. And although I don't have a great voice, I don't have a bad voice either. It was just nice to sing. I hadn't done that in a while. And I just hadn't played or taken that time. Frankly, I didn't have the time to just enjoy some music. And so I did that. If that's something that's important to you, like it is to me, it can really make a difference. And there was a lot of emotional healing in that. There's a lot of things in songs and in music that are very healing. I find that for myself. It might be poetry for you, or it might be something else for you, but take that time to do that. Setting boundaries. One of the things I found right away with the emotional fatigue that I quickly recognized, and I didn't quickly recognize that it was grieving, was setting boundaries. I began to prioritize all of the problems that were brought to me or that were present and how important they were in the scope of things. And it was so refreshing to be able to look at them differently. You're often presented with all of these things, but in the scope of things, how important are they? Are they life-threatening? Like, how important are they? And so setting boundaries on the things that you want to do, the things that you have to do, and the things that you need to do and can be put off. So setting those boundaries are going to be very important. Deciding some of the new things that you might want to pick up and do, really important in setting that routine. Again, it lists a therapist. That's up to you. Therapy is different for everyone, what that looks like. It might be spiritual. It might be your pastor or priest. It might be a professional therapist. It might be friendships or a group. Might be family. For me, I tried to keep my granddaughter, she's 16 months old now, throughout this process after mom's passing, because it meant something to me to focus and to pour into her. And there might be that friend for you as well. And it was just very healing for me to have that routine and to be able to have that relationship with her. And then take a break. Take a break. Some days you just don't have to do anything. How important is that to take a break? Many of you have a 36-hour day, and it can be really shocking when you don't have that 36-hour day. You can feel a void. You can feel empty. You can feel depressed. You could feel like you've lost your purpose, but your purpose is just going to change. So I am so thankful that I had the opportunity to be my mom's care manager and caregiver at times. I'm so glad that I had the strength to do that. And kudos to my family, but especially to my spouse, my husband, who was a tremendous, tremendous support and caregiver. I couldn't have done it without him. And I hope that you have someone that supports you. So thank you to those people that support us and make these things possible. There are a few quotes here I want to end with today. I want to pay tribute to my mom, Betty. What a wonderful person that she was. I'm so thankful she's at peace. I cannot tell you. I see her as she was, pre-dementia, pre-care needs, pre-all of the things that accompanied that journey. And I've shared with you some of the stories, and perhaps at a later time, I'll share with you some of the things that I chose to do for my mom's passing as well as her memorial service. But I won't do that today. Just a few quotes that I want to just talk about and read. Kindness can transform someone's dark moment with a blaze of light. You'll never know how much your caring matters. Make a difference for another today. Amy Leah McCree. That was her quote. And you may not see it today, the difference that you make or the difference that you've made. But one day you'll look back and you will realize that if it weren't for you, quality of life would not be the same for your loved one, for your friend, for your spouse. And that is very true. I'm so thankful that not only did I have strong support for my spouse, but because of my background, I was able to make some solid decisions that provided my mom with quality of life at a time when that wouldn't have happened. And so I encourage you as a caregiver, as a family member, to know you are making a difference. You are transforming lives, and the decisions that you are making are making a difference. And if I get to see my mother again, as I believe that I will, that's my personal belief, she will tell me so. I'm very glad about that. To the world, you may just be one person, but to one person, you may be the world. Josephine Billings. My mother never forgot who I was. I work with so many families that is heart-wrenching for them when their loved one can no longer remember them. And though my mom was well into her dementia caused by head injury, she suffered from delusions, auditory hallucinations, lots of confusion, sometimes paranoia. My mom never forgot who I was. And although sometimes I didn't always see mom as mother and her relationship to me, sometimes it was a little competitive or a little rambunctious, mom never forgot me. She never forgot my name, and she never forgot who I was to her. And I'm very grateful for that. But even if that is occurring to you, I want you to know that that is just a step on the journey. Continue to do what you do, the way you do it, and one day it will pay off. At times, each of us needs to withdraw from the cares which will not withdraw from us. It's time that we really take a look at this whole situation and step away at times so that we can maintain what we need to do so that we can be the best person possible. I failed many times. I wasn't always perfect, and I will be the first to admit that. However, I did the best that I could, and I did a great job. So if you're out there today and you're not sure, I want you to know you're not alone. You are going to fail some days or some moments within the day, but you're doing a good job. Hold your head up, continue on, and know that someday you'll have relief and you'll look back and you'll be thankful that you were able to make a difference in the life of your loved one, your spouse, your friend, your neighbor. Until next time, this is Dawn Platt. Make it a memorable day.
Thank you for joining us for the Disappearing Mind podcast. We hope it's helped you find clarity and support along your journey. Be sure to subscribe to never miss an episode. Visit our website to suggest future topics and share the podcast with friends and family.